I am going to invite the kids to go outside with Ellen and I believe Jenny Lee. Yes? No, maybe? Someone. Oh, Olivia. Maybe not Jenny Lee. So you're going to go outside and play. Kids, the only thing is you need to stay with Ellen and your leaders. You need to be there. And we'll see you at the end of the service. And there is no nursery over the summer months. Thanks, Ellen and Olivia. It is good to be with you this morning. As summer begins, I know our rhythms at the Gathering Church changes and you never know who will be here on a Sunday morning. And so thank you for starting summer months with us. We're glad that you're here. And also really do extend my blessings over your summer. I know for many, summer offers a change of pace, maybe a change of location, maybe some time in water, whether it's a pool or a lake. And I hope that you'll just experience refreshment as you gather with friends and family, and maybe get to slow down just a little bit. So I'm wondering, what is your typical answer when someone asks you, how are you? What do you say typically? Good. Fine. Okay. Do you really answer with how you're totally feeling? How long does it take you to think about your response? And I think often we don't miss a beat in our reply. We simply say fine or okay or good. But if a dear or a trusted friend asked you, how are you doing? What would your reply be? Would you pause and would you consider your reply? Would you be able to give an answer that more truly reflects how you are doing? When I taught English as a second language to adults from a variety of different cultures, many of them would say to me, when Canadians ask, how are you, they really don't want to know. I thought there was truth in that. And so we talked about it being kind of more of a greeting, not really inquiring the depths of how you are feeling on that day. But it is true. How are you isn't often asking for the truth of what's going on inside. In Psalm 143, which Cade read earlier, the author of the psalm, who is David, he tells God how he is really feeling, and he asks God to be quick and to be active in his response. David is honest with God. He says, my spirit fails. So whenever I read the word soul or spirit in Scripture, my hand naturally goes to my heart. So when David says, my spirit fails, this is the picture I have of David. He is talking about what is going on inside of him. He here is actually describing an interior collapse. And so we can think of this as his innermost being growing weak, almost like his innermost being is fainting on the inside. And while feeling weak deep on the inside, David goes immediately to God. He doesn't put on a mask. He doesn't say, God, I am fine. He offers God a very honest prayer about what he is experiencing. My spirit fails. Answer me quickly, Lord. Basically, he is saying, I am worn out. God, would you answer me quickly? And I believe that David models to us what it looks like to bring our weariness into the presence of God. I believe it is important to note that David is honest with God about how he is feeling. He doesn't hide the condition of his heart or of his soul from God. He also doesn't make this a prayer of confession. He's not sorry that his interior self is failing. He's not feeling ashamed about this. But he offers to God an authentic prayer. He knows that internally he is experiencing deep fatigue, and he comes before God and he names it, my spirit fails. Some of us may have been taught by our families or by society that when we are asked, how are you, we're really meant to say, fine, good, all is well. And we may have been taught that when we come before God, that we need to present ourselves as being strong and well, full of gratitude, totally fine. But this prayer that David offers models something very different. David comes to God with a prayer that matches his present situation. It's an honest and it's a realistic prayer. He lets God see the part of him that he feels is failing. One author that I read this week describes David's state as being in a state of depletion, where David's inner resources that he normally relied on were genuinely used up. That his regulation, that his decision-making, that his coping, all of these were failing him at the moment. He couldn't find those things that he usually went deep inside to rely on. David describes what he is experiencing, and then he asks God to meet him with his presence. So in David's depletion, in his weariness, he turns towards a source of love that he knows never runs dry. He urges God, "Do not hide your face from me." In ancient times, the face of God represented connection. It represented God's presence, or of being seen and of being known by God. And David is saying, please don't take this away from me. Don't even let my mind think that your face has turned away from me. So in the ancient times, if a person felt like God's face was hidden, he or she would be experiencing a deep loneliness, feeling this aloneness, not just in people surrounding them aloneness, but in the absence of God, deep soul aloneness. And in his weariness, David wants to know that he is seen by God. He wants to know that he is not alone. And again, not just physically alone, but deep within him, at the level of his spirit, he wants to know that he is not alone. I have a vivid memory after my best friend died 3 years ago, and I was on the beach late one night. It was very dark, and I was just feeling the grief of losing someone that I deeply loved. And I was asking God to be near me in this deep sadness. And just as I finished that prayer, a star went shooting across the sky, and it just felt like it had a really long tail, like I saw it, I could watch it go. And this act of God through creation symbolized to me that I was being seen by God. Somebody could say, oh, that was just a coincidence, or Catherine, you're just naming that as something. But for me, I believe that God desires to show up to us. He desires to reveal his presence. And often nature, creation, when it says it speaks of the majesty of God, creation can be a way of God saying, here I am near you, I am with you. Or through the word of a person that someone speaks to us, or through the word of a song, or through scripture, that God says, my face is on you, I see you. This presence of God is important to David. It's so important to him that he compares it to the absence of God of going down to the pit. So again, in David's time, a physical pit would have been a really, really deep cistern where they stored water, deep and dark. And to fall into that pit would be just to plunge into a place of darkness. In scripture, a pit also is symbolic of a number of other things. It's a physical place of deep darkness and the absence of God, and it's a feeling of this deep despair, a place again where you feel like you have no strength, that you've gone into this dark pit. And again, David is really honest in his prayers. My spirit fails, I have no strength, God, please see me. David continues with words of strength and truth. So in this cry out feeling, saying my spirit fails, David also says, I have put my trust in you. And to me, in this prayer, these words are incredible because they represent to me and hopefully to us words of strength and of faith. So David, in his internal weakness, is able to bring to mind and to bring before God that he does indeed trust in God. When his spirit fails, he's not saying, I don't trust you, God. He's saying, my spirit fails me, and I trust in you. This is a foundation for David, and hopefully a foundation for us. Even though I am running on empty, my trust is in you, God. And again, some of us have been taught that it is best not to bring our weariness or our disappointment or our lament to God. That when we come before God, we are only to come with gratitude and with rejoicing. But this honest prayer of David models to us that God welcomes our honesty. I am tired, God. That didn't go the way that I hoped. I feel like I am slipping. David is not ashamed of his inner fatigue. He's not ashamed of his lament. Unfortunately, a week ago, my dear husband missed some stairs, fell down, and badly hurt his leg. And so I was just wrapping up Snack Attack and got a phone call with the tone from Terry that I knew something was up. He said, no, everything's well. And I said, I'm actually going to stop the car and you're going to tell me what's going on. And so he told me that he fell down some stairs and that he needed to go to emergency. And I know when Terry says I need to go to the ER that he's likely hurt. And so he is indeed hurt. We now have 6 to 8 weeks where he'll be with a hip to ankle kind of cast situation and pretty immobile. And it was at the beginning of what was to be some summer rest. And so I admit that I had a prayer like David, where I was like, oh, my spirit feels a little faint here, a little weak. But what I recognized was that I went quickly to thinking, oh, I shouldn't have any kind of lament. I should be thankful. I should be thankful that Terry's alive and that he will heal. But when I sat with that, it didn't really help for me. I was like, no, actually, I'm not. That's not authentic before God, though I am really, really thankful for Terry's life and that he will heal. And so it took me some time, and then I shifted into my honest prayer, which was, God, this sucks, which is my word for this right now. The timing would never be good, but the timing doesn't seem great. And would you please be with us in a new way, in a real way? And as I offered this sort of lament to God, it just felt freeing to me. I didn't have to compare myself to someone else's situation. I just got to say, right here and right now, this doesn't feel great. And God, would you reveal your way to us in this time? And I think this is really important. I wasn't depleted. I'm not depleted. I was just anticipating some fun summering with Terry. And that is loss. It is loss for us. But David invites us to pray these honest prayers without losing our faith in God or without losing sight of the goodness and the presence of God. And so as David continues this prayer, he asks God to show him his love and his direction. He opens himself up to being taught, to being led, and to be shown the way. Which again, I think is such a beautiful prayer of David. Would you show me your way in this, God? I will follow your way, even when my spirit feels very faint. And so here David reveals the posture of his heart before God. He invites God to bring in light and to illuminate the way that he should go. Show me the way I should go. Such a beautiful prayer. It's a posture that says to God, God, what you're going to reveal to me matters, and I'm going to listen to it, and I'm going to follow it. And so David's posture here is one actually of curiosity and of openness. What is your way for me when my spirit is faint? What is the step that you will show me to take? Show me the way I should go. It's a prayer of David asking God to be very active in revealing a next step for him. I think it's David saying, on my own, in this state of deep inner fatigue, I don't know the next step, but I trust in your ways. show me the way I should go. In his inner fatigue, David is asking for a reminder of God's love. He is asking God to be his guide and to be his companion, one step at a time. He's not asking for the map that is the destination included. It's one step at a time. And his deepest desire is for God's companionship to lead him through the depletion to the other side. So what are the ways that God has revealed to you over your lifetime of these steps that we might take? Kind of what are the one step at a time directions that God has provided? In my own life, I've often been invited into stillness, which is counter to who I typically am. So when I go to God in weariness, God often reminds me, go to stillness, go to solitude, I will meet you there. Other times, God invites me to go and find some wise counsel, whether through a counselor that I would pay, or friends that I would gather around me, or prayers that I would invite. There's a verse in Philippians 4 that we memorized together a couple years ago, and God then that invites me to focus my mind on things that are worthy of praise. So it's taking my mind off of those things that are depleting me, and very, very real, taking time to say, what are the things worthy of praise that are around me? It's also, God has led me into times of confession, where God invites me to name what I'm holding on to that needs to be released. So confession becomes the next step on my journey. When we join David in praying, show me your way, we are inviting God to come into our present state and to reveal something new, something of God that will begin to bring relief to where we feel that we are failing in spirit. This something new is very much part of God's plan, and it's part of who God is. You know, see, I'm doing something new. Do you not perceive it? So in praying this prayer, show me your way, we are asking God to show us something new. And again, David affirms his faith in God. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. So this is definitely not just a help me, rescue me prayer. David brings in statements of his own faith when he's inviting God to show him the next step. I have entrusted my life to you, God. So why is that important? To me, it is the glimmer of hope in David's weakness. In the shadowy places that he's experiencing, in the hard season that he is in, David again speaks out a statement of trust. I hear David saying, God, even though this is really hard, and this is an unwanted season or situation, I do trust you. I do trust you to be present, to intervene, to come close, to show me your ways. And as we state our trust towards God, we hopefully open up our ears and our eyes to hear and to see God's whispers and God's direction. David concludes his prayer with these words. He says, may your good spirit lead me on level ground. Again, it's so important that David, in this time of despair, calls God's spirit a good spirit. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. And here, David is requesting steady ground, a place where the ground under his feet feels trustworthy. It's not sinking sand. I think of a verse that I often go to or give to people in times of fatigue, and it's from Isaiah 35, and it reads, strengthen feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come to save you. Strengthen my feeble hands. Strengthen my knees that want to give way. And say to my heart, be strong and do not fear. your God will come near. These are prayers we can pray for someone else and prayers that we can pray for ourselves. So David has led us in a prayer of teach me and lead me versus come and rescue me. David reminds us that we're not meant as followers of Jesus just to press through when our spirit is weary. It's not just press harder, work harder, go stronger. We are invited to say, my spirit fails. And the beautiful reminder is that God's good spirit never fails. That God offers us the solid ground on which to stand. So how do we maybe incorporate this into our lives of faith? One of the ways that we might do this is through something called breath prayers. So breath prayers are prayers that we can do anywhere and anytime. And the beauty of them is they actually incorporate breath, which is a way that God has given us to bring calmness to ourselves. And breath prayers are a way of walking on solid ground. And so as you inhale, you are contemplating God's word and God's ways. And as you exhale, it's basically saying, and I trust in you. Breath prayers, again, can be done anywhere. They can be done before you begin a meeting. They can be done at the beginning of a day. I know some parents here this summer are busy driving kids to and fro to a bunch of different activities. A breath prayer can start our drive. A breath prayer can be what we pray when we release the kids into the program that they are. A breath prayer can be a prayer of thanksgiving. It also can be a prayer of, please God, help me. So it's a way of focusing our attention on God and receiving this solid footing. And so I'm going to invite us to practice a couple. I just picked a couple that I like. So on the inhale, we would say, I find rest in your shelter. So just together, it says, I find rest. And the trust statement is, in your shelter. So just close your eyes, if you would, and we'll breathe in together. I find rest. Exhale, in your shelter. Let's do that again. On the inhale, I find rest. And on the exhale, in your shelter. Another one from Scripture we can do is on the inhale, we say, you are my refuge. And on the exhale, we say, and my strength. So inhale, you are my refuge. And exhale, and my strength. Let's do that again. You are my refuge. I breathe in. And my strength. I breathe out. One that I like to do is placing my hand on my heart. I breathe in peace of God. And I breathe out, guard my heart. And it might be peace of God, guard my mouth. Or peace of God, guide my thoughts. So let's breathe in peace of God. Peace of God. And the exhale, guard my heart. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful that you do come quickly to us in our times of need. God, we are thankful that you do not intentionally hide your face from us, that you are present to us. We thank you, God, that your love is unfailing, and that we are invited to put our full trust in you, for you are the solid footing beneath our feet. God, help us to remember this reminder of David's prayer, that you welcome our honest and authentic prayers, that we can come to you in times of depletion and of weakness, and we can invite you to show us a new way. God, thank you that we're not invited to live in times of weariness, that you are a God of refreshment and of light, of joy and of living hope, and that life is a balance of both. And so we thank you that you are living, that you are eternal, that you are with us, that you indeed are our breath. May we inhale and exhale your promises to us. Amen.
Thanks, Catherine. You're welcome to stand for our closing song.